Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Dawn Zier. How are you, Dawn?
Hi, Robert. I'm great. How are you?
Great. And Dawn, you may have remembered, we've interviewed before on several occasions, and we're going to talk about great things about boards, how you get on boards, the transition from CEO to board, and we're also going to talk about something I'm passionate about, and Dawn has great ideas on, which is empowering women and getting more women CEOs. But I want to start off with Nutrisystem. So you were there as CEO from the end of 2012 to 2019, dramatic, historic turnaround that's well documented. Just walk through what you had to do to accomplish that turnaround.
Oh, thanks, Robert. It was the privilege of my life to lead Nutrisystem. And the first thing I had to do actually was get the culture in check. And if you know, one of the things that I passionately believe in is the importance of culture and setting that as the foundation for the company. And then it was understanding what the consumer wanted, because often as a marketing company, you think you know what the customer wants, but you don't know unless you actually are talking and listening to them. And we had to do a pretty seismic change from thinking about weight loss as a vanity play, which is what I inherited coming into Nutrisystem, to something about health and wellness, which actually allowed us to do so much more in this space. So it was really about transformative thinking. And first and foremost was putting the right team in place, because nobody can do it on their own. So getting that right team in is critical.
And you have a discipline of marketing, and you're talking a little bit about the customer knowing what they want. Walk deeper into there. What did you go through specifically to understand how to delight the customers?
Well, we have a contact center at Nutrisystem, and when I got there, it was siloed off from the marketing team. So marketing and the contact center, or the customer service team, they weren't really talking to each other at all. So that's a disconnect, and it is a huge missed opportunity, because if you think about your contact center, they're the first line of information and the first line of connection to the consumer. So I started doing breakfast roundtables with my contact center team, really bringing them into the fold. And what they would tell me during these conversations were golden nuggets just dropping from heaven, really giving me insights on the consumer and things that we needed to change, or things that actually were resonating with the consumer, and was often different from what we thought as marketers.
And you talked about the importance of culture as a starting point. What do you believe the real intersection between culture and customer is? How do you make it work best? Because you clearly did that completely at the turnaround of Nutrisystem.
I think it's really important that nowadays customers are not asking just what you're selling, they're asking how they're selling and the why. And since we, Nutrisystem, when I was the CEO, it is a mission-based company in terms of we're helping transform people's lives and becoming the best version of themselves. So that connection of something that the customer or consumer can broadly believe in, connected with the mission of the company, is really important. And for Nutrisystem, it was pretty easy because we truly were transforming people's lives. But I think every company out there has to find and be clear about not only what they're doing, but why and how they're doing it, and how that intersects and connects with the consumer and the employees too.
And you were big on that why and how. Talk more about that whole concept.
You know, when I think back 10 years ago, it was all about creating shareholder value, and that translated into what the financial status of the company was. What were the revenues? What was the profit growth? How was the stock price doing? And a lot of it was tied to the financials. But I think more and more, as we think about what drives the financials, it is about the customer experience. It's about resonating with the consumers. It's about employees and being able to retain them and keep them. And even doing things along the lines of ESG, where you're doing things that are good for the environment, good for the community, good for, again, the consumers and the employees. This all ties together. And I think 10 to 15 years ago, we thought about a lot of these things as cost centers. But really what they are profit drivers if you do it right.
Yep. I want to ask one more question about culture, because you had told me years ago, and it's the only time someone used this practice, and it's one I think a lot of CEOs could elevate. You would do walking meetings where you're actually walking with people, and that's how the meeting. Now, it ties in obviously to being healthy, you know, instead of, which was the direction of Nutrisystem, but there are also other benefits. Talk about that whole concept, because I think a lot of CEOs could learn from you on that.
What that does, and I think we also saw it happen during the pandemic a lot also, was the ability to have conversations instead of presentations. It makes the whole conversation more authentic, less prepared, less of a presentation, less of a status update. But when you're having a real conversation with somebody, you can get to the nuts and bolts of what's working, what's not working, and you build trust and authenticity. And I think that's very important. And of course, at Nutrisystem, as a health and wellness company, getting our steps was very important and still is to me today. So that was something we like to do.
So now let's talk. You're highly successful CEO, and then you made a shift to being a board member. What was that transition?
As I thought about that, after I left Nutrisystem when we sold the company and I helped with the transition and then decided to, it was my time to leave, I thought about, do I want to go back into an operating role 24/7 or do I want to build out a board portfolio? And one of the things that I thought about in terms of how I could help people was to be a connector of the dots. And what I found is that whenever I'm in the boardroom, I get, and no matter what industry I'm in, and one of the things I try to do as I build out my board portfolio is to work at different industries, because I do find that you get nuggets of information or insights from different industries that are still offer parallels to whatever the other industries are that you're working in. So I like to connect the dots across my different boards. And again, I can be in a spirit board meeting and have some thoughts that are relevant to Purple or Hain or a prestige board meeting, and it ties back to one of my private equity companies that I work with. So again, this broad perspective where you're getting diversity in terms of opinions and different things that you're evaluating is incredibly helpful.
So 2 minutes before break on the radio, I want to ask two of the boards you're on. One is Hain Celestial and the other is Spirit Airlines. When we go through the pandemic, they sort of had the opposite impact of their popularity, not because of brands, but because of what the pandemic was doing. Talk about what you learned as a board member on those two.
Well, there's no playbook during the pandemic, and I think every CEO and every board had to adapt and do things differently. You know, with Spirit, what we saw was a complete dislocation. It was an airline, and nobody was traveling. So that truly was a crisis that hit us head on. And what was very interesting about that, and one of the things that I think is a positive that came out of the pandemic, is how the board and the management team interacted. We were truly in crisis mode, and instead of having presentations, we started having conversations and real working sessions, and our CEO really used the board as his trusted advisors, and I think that helped. At Hain, you know, we had a benefit from the pandemic. People were stocking up, so a lot of people were going shopping and stocking up their pantries, and that helped us. But again, we had to be cognizant of, okay, what's the impact of that, and what's the future look on that? And of course, in any CPG company, we had the supply chain issues that's facing the entire macroeconomics of the country today and Europe as well, where we're seeing supply chain issues and learning how to deal with that. And I served on boards that were impacted to various degrees, but there were challenges throughout and there were commonalities. And I think supply chain disruption, supply chain inability with just the workforce, the dislocation of the workforce, the inability to get third parties to do the things you just took for granted. That was a learning experience for all of us.
We're about to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to ask a question of Dawn that a ton of you ask me all the time. How do you get on the first two boards? Back in a few.
Would you like to host your own radio program or podcast? Park City Productions 06604 is a Bridgeport, Connecticut-based radio broadcast solutions company. Follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's Park City Productions 06604. Call us at 203-522-8801.
Are you from California, Illinois, New York, Georgia, or any of the other 39 states that charge state income tax? Does your state claim you owe them any amount of back taxes? Or have you not filed in years? Is your heart pounding because you know they're wrong or you just don't have the money? Don't fight the state income tax board alone. The Tax Doctor is here to help you. The state is much more aggressive than the IRS in collecting taxes. They have the power to take your home, your car, your drivers and business licenses, even garnish your wages, freeze your bank accounts, and go after your spouse. Solve all your income tax problems permanently and keep more of your hard-earned money. Make this 100% guaranteed risk-free call right now.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100 the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
I need to pay bills. When is my tax refund coming? I need to pay my taxes. What are my payment options?
I need to set up a payment plan. How do I do that?
I need answers to my tax questions. Where can I find them?
I need help with my taxes. Does the IRS offer free help?
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Need answers to your tax questions? Go to irs.gov.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission. Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we interview the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Dawn Zier, and she's well known as the turnaround CEO of Nutrisystem. I think it was 7 times a profit or something, and, you know, doubled the revenue. It was a huge success and really ushered in the shift from vanity over to becoming a healthier society. And so it had great importance. Then she shifted over to being board member, and we talked about Hain and Spirit. And the question that people want to know is, CEOs all the time, like, okay, I've been a CEO all these years, I now want to get on boards. And it's not always so easy. How do you get on the first 2 boards? Because once you're on the 2, then more boards start calling you.
Absolutely. So in the case of Spirit, which was the first board I joined, you know me well enough, Robert, to know that I make my to-do lists. And in 2015, as a New Year's resolution, I put one of my goals was to get on a public company board. And then I told everybody I knew that that's what I wanted to do. And I think that's really important, communicating to the people in your network that that's what you're interested in. I had one of the search firms call me about Spirit, and they were looking to bring in their first female board member. And I remember being a little perturbed about that, if you will, because I didn't want to go on a board just because I was a female. And what I learned quickly is that no board, in my experience, is going to bring in somebody that's not qualified. So while they were looking to increase the diversity on the board, it still is a best candidate race. And I think that's important because I think a lot of females, as they head into their first board, they may lack some confidence as to why they're there. So I quickly got that out of my head. But I thought, airline industry, what do I know about airline industry? It is a very capital intensive industry, different from consumer products, different from any company that I've been with before. I just flew a lot, so I knew about the customer experience. And it turns out that they had a lot of financial experts on their board. They had a lot of airline experience on their board. But what they really were looking for was someone that could connect with the consumer, that understood the consumer, because they had to change their brand perception from being ultra-low-cost carrier, price is the only thing that matters, to a company that also cared and showed love for their customers. And that's why they wanted me to join the board. And that made it a good fit. And one of my learnings from that was that your functional skill set, in this case, my marketing and consumer brand experience, really can transcend industries. And I think that's important for people looking to get on their first board. It doesn't have to be within the industry you're in. It's how does your functional skill set travel.
And let's talk about that. You mentioned women, and it's different. You are the first to be on the board. What advice do you have to women? And as you know, both you and I, we have a passion that we want to have more women CEOs. And it's almost like we're holding back. We're not putting all the talent in because maybe someone didn't have a P&L experience or something like that. Talk about your advice to women.
I think one of the things that I like to tell people, now is a great opportunity for women in general, although the statistics still are way behind where they need to be. But have confidence in yourself, and again, know that you're qualified for the role. I think one of the things that women tend to do that is inherently different than men is they overthink an opportunity. So if you get asked to do something that is a little bit beyond your comfort zone or is a little bit of a stretch role, as females, what I've seen females do is they will really go through the list, come up with the pros and cons, and by the time they come up with a decision, the opportunity has moved on. So what I like to tell females to do is be a hand raiser, jump in for opportunities. You don't need to have it all figured out on day one. You need to actually think like a guy. So that is one of my bits of advice. The other thing that I have been quoted on saying is leave the adjectives at the door. So drop the gender when you enter the room. So one of the things I would say is I didn't want to be the best female CEO out there. I just wanted to be one of the best CEOs. And so don't define yourself by your gender. Take advantage of what that brings to you in terms of what you can offer in terms of your experience and expertise, because diversity truly does improve corporate profits, improve boardroom dynamics, but don't go there and wear it as a badge. And I think those are two of my biggest pieces of advice for females looking to elevate themselves, whether it be within the C-suite or within the boardroom.
Dawn, it's clear there's a war on talent. What advice do you have?
It's hard to attract talent to your company unless you have a clear vision and mission that people can embrace, that people want to be a part of your company. When I'm hiring for people, I think smart people are a dime a dozen. So it's easy to find somebody smart to come into a company. What you need to do is look for people that are going to be not cultural fit, because that creates a lot of people who are the same, but people that will be cultural enhancers. I think that is critically important, and to interview for that. Because the number one reason why smart people don't work out in a job is because they're not the right, they don't fit the culture of the company that you're trying to lead. The other thing as a leader I think you have to be aware of is if you have somebody smart in your organization who is performing, delivering the results, we're often afraid to make a move on that person even if he or she is a cultural detractor. But the damage that is done to a corporation that can be done by one person if management doesn't stand up for the culture that they put forward is really damaging. So I think we have to, as leaders, be comfortable upgrading the team and taking a risk by getting rid of somebody that is performing because they're not actually a fit for the company and they're not putting forward what you want your company to stand for.
Final question, Dawn. Transformative CEO. Define what it means to you and what is the role of a transformative CEO as we hopefully move past this pandemic?
As a transformative CEO, I think you need to think in big ideas, right? But it's hard to come up with big ideas. And one of the things that's hard to do is grow when you have continued growth. It's easier when you're turning around a company and transforming a company. But I think the fire that helps you think about that is not how can I grow my company, but how can my company get killed? And if you flip it on its head and think about things that could be disruptors, distractors, you will, what is necessary for survival? What are things that can knock you out? It creates a different type of thinking. And I go back to my days at Reader's Digest when we were challenged with, we were doing a lot of marketing by sweepstakes, which was getting increasingly unpopular. And we had to overhaul the entire way we were doing business or we were going to die. That creates a certain sort of energy that enables transformation. So as much as a CEO, if you have to transform and change your company, if you can put that sort of critical pressure into your thinking, I think that gets different results. The other thing with transformation that is really important for CEOs is to set the expectation that it's okay to fail. That doesn't mean you don't produce results and things along those lines, but it's not going to be a slam dunk every time. And you have to have a culture that rewards people for trying and enables you to fail, learn from those failings so you can continue to grow. It always comes back to the team, being scrappy, having the right team in place, bringing in new blood and that mix of old blood and new blood and how that works. So that's some of the things I like to think about when it comes to transformation.
And there you have it. Dawn, a real pleasure having you on the CEO show.
Thank you for having me. It's always great to speak with you, Robert.
And the final thought, think of what Dawn did. Become a connector of the dots, because that's when new opportunities emerge.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind in paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
America. I'm Robert Rees, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Dr. Jaewon Ryu, who is the president and CEO of Geisinger. Now, Geisinger is one of the largest healthcare organizations in America, with about $8 billion revenue and about 24,000 employees. But you have a different spin on how you approach healthcare, from really an innovative financial model. Talk about what the organization is first, and then let's go into what you do differently.
We've been around for over 100 years. We're in central and northeastern Pennsylvania, as you mentioned, and many of our areas, we span areas that are both semi-urban but also very rural. And so as a result of that, we've had to get pretty creative in how we deliver care. What I love to say is that we have every bit of the ingredients that you would find all across the healthcare industry. We have hospitals, employed physicians and providers, clinics, as well as an insurance company, and now even a medical school as of a few years ago. And as a result of having all of those ingredients, we're able to truly innovate and bring different kinds of care models. And of course, when we insure the same patients that we take care of, we're able to really make a difference in terms of moving care further upstream and out of the hospitals, into the homes, into the communities, closer to where people live and work. And when we do that, we know we have the biggest impact on promoting the health of these communities that we serve.
So in a sense, you're a model of all of the entire continuum.
We like to think so. I mean, we still have many things that we think need still a lot of work. But I think we've made a lot of progress and in many ways offer up a potential blueprint for things that could help across the country in terms of a healthcare model. When you combine the financing and the delivery of healthcare, you don't have to worry about is something reimbursable or not. We always talk about the example of people who are suffering from diabetes, and maybe it's very difficult to control, but at the same time they're food insecure, meaning they're not sure where their next meal is coming from. Those folks could really benefit from a better diet. And, of course, there isn't a billable code for food, but we know that by delivering that food and teaching them how to eat better, we know that we're making a big difference on health. And that is the power of combining that financing and the delivery. It really allows you not to be dependent on the downstream sites like hospitals and ERs, and instead moving care and moving services further upstream.
And when you talked about that model, which is deeply built into the financial component, which I know you had worked years ago at Kaiser, and they were really pioneers in there, how does that tie into the whole concept where everyone wants to go, which is community wellness?
I think they're part and parcel of the same effort. It doesn't mean you have to have an insurance company. You could partner with other insurance companies and work together to solve some of these issues. But if you're talking about overall health of a community, it's not just physical health. It's not just getting to physicians, getting to hospitals. It's about food. It's about things that are nowadays known as social determinants of health, whether it's someone's living environment, transportation, housing. We know these things matter, and we know that they're tremendous drivers in keeping people healthy, preventing bad things from happening. And we know that the power of bringing the financing and the delivery together really allows you to focus on things. It allows you to bring transportation services to folks. It allows you to focus on opiate-addicted mothers who deliver babies who may still be dependent on the opiates from when they were in the womb. And helping those moms get back on their feet. These are real programs that we have and that are really made possible by the fact that we bear the financial risk, so we have jointly aligned incentives to keep this population healthy.
Let's talk about a topic not everyone talks about but is ubiquitous, which is behavioral health. And I think it's over 20% of Americans have some type of behavioral health that needs handling. And now, especially when we're in a pandemic, it's a time when more significant challenges have come. What is your take on what is being done and what we need to do?
Behavioral health is one of these things that are actually very closely tied to physical health. We see that when someone has a behavioral health issue, their physical health also suffers. And so if you're trying to get diabetics in better control, if you're trying to control blood pressure better in folks with hypertension, if you're trying to have better control of someone's congestive heart failure, and they also have a behavioral health issue, we know that that's particularly challenging. This is one of these things where it's a classic example of swimming upstream and getting further upstream to prevent things like subsequent admissions to the hospital, trips to the emergency room, having services and programs delivered in the home, in the virtual environment, or even in the clinics. We know that that makes a big impact. I'll give you an example, Robert. We started a senior-focused primary care model called 65 Forward a few years ago. It's essentially a concierge primary care model for those that are 65 and older, as the name would suggest. Panel sizes that are about a fifth of the size of what you would see in a typical primary care practice across the country. The feedback that we get from these folks, you have all the same outcomes that you would expect to see. You have lower rates of ER use, lower rates of hospitalization. But the thing that surprises some people is when you see the patient feedback, they talk a lot about how it addresses and helps them with their loneliness. We know that this is a problem with folks that are 65 and older. And in the front of these clinics, we create wellness spaces where they have programming like art class, yoga class, fitness instructors, something that might even look like a coffee shop and snacks. And it becomes almost like a community center where seniors come and congregate, and they may or may not even come to see their physician. I think that's a great illustration of what can happen when you're addressing physical health in a way that also addresses some mental health or behavioral health challenges, in this case, loneliness in seniors.
I commend you on a tremendous program like that. You are sort of known as a hospital that doesn't want you in the hospital. Talk about that philosophy.
It's absolutely right. We spend a lot of time and energy building programs that actually move things outside the hospital. Partly, it's just a more affordable way to deliver healthcare. And given the areas that we serve, we know that that's important for employers. It's important for communities. It's important for people in those communities. When we're able to prevent the downstream effects that may land you in an emergency room in a hospital, and instead focus on upstream prevention, instead focus on services in the home, instead focus on services in the clinics. It also happens to be more convenient for people, and people are happier when they can get their care that way. And so you have a business rationale. It's more affordable. You have a clinical rationale because you're preventing bad outcomes of disease. But you also have a community satisfier and a patient satisfaction rationale because it's more convenient for people to be getting care outside of these environments.
What types of things, as a truly innovative health organization, are you testing out? Are you now saying, as the world is changing, and saying, we're going to test this out, we're going to deploy it, we're going to see where it works, so you have a sense of what the future might hold?
Well, the 65 Forward is a good example, but there are a couple others. So we have a program called Geisinger at Home, which we also started a few years ago, but have continued to expand the scope of this program. And what that does is it takes the sickest of the sick, probably the sickest 3% of our population, and it moves services and care coordination programs into the home. These are folks that have a tough time getting around, so mobility is not something working in their favor. And so when it becomes challenging to move the patient, we're moving the care to meet the patient where they are. And the part that's more of a testing and expanding that's going on right now is continuing to expand the services so that it's downright acute care types of things that you would ordinarily see in a hospital being moved into that home environment. And we're finding, especially with COVID, that we're able to do more and more of that and preserve our hospital capacity for those folks that truly are at a level of sickness that they really require being inside the hospital. I think that's a neat program. The other one I mentioned briefly earlier, we have something called our Fresh Food Pharmacy. It targets food insecure folks. Initially, it was just with diabetics. Now we're expanding that and testing it to include other conditions that are diet sensitive, whether it's kidney disease or congestive heart failure. We know that what people eat matters a lot in those clinical conditions. And by expanding the program, we're also testing whether there's an adequate savings in the total cost of care to make these programs sustainable. Because imagine a world where you might have it baked in as an insurance benefit, where they cover food and housing if you're in a specific kind of vulnerable state. I think that's the future that we all aspire to. We're not quite there yet as a country.
And that's really the goal, improving quality, lowering costs. And we're about to take a commercial break on the radio show right now. When we come back, we're going to talk about the interesting model you have, which has both rural and urban, and how you serve marginalized populations. Back in a few.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hi, and welcome back. This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we interview the CEOs who've reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Dr. Jaywon Brew, and you were talking about the model that you had, and you were dealing with both urban and rural. What is your take on best practices for serving marginalized populations, which is a critical issue these days?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. If you look at underserved or vulnerable populations, whether they're vulnerable because they're more elderly, they're vulnerable because they're more sick, they're vulnerable because they live in tougher communities that have seen better days, or maybe they're vulnerable because they have multiple chronic comorbidities and are recently out of a job. I mean, you have many different types of folks that we have the privilege of serving. And I think what that requires is one size can't fit all. And we've said many times that over the last several years, at least, we've been trying to add more flavors to the ice cream store. We know that plain vanilla primary care doesn't serve the needs effectively for some populations. And so 65 forward, our senior-focused primary care, is a good illustration of a primary care model specifically geared towards seniors. Similarly, the program I mentioned earlier, Geisinger at Home, it's specifically catered to those who have multiple comorbidities and struggle because they're really the sickest of the sick. At the same time, we have other models like our FQHC lookalike model, federally qualified health centers, that resemble community clinics and wrap together social services for those who are Medicaid populations. So these are some examples. We also have a Life Geisinger program, which is for the frail and elderly to keep them independent and out of institutional environments. But these are all examples of different flavors, and I think you have to have a model that accommodates and recognizes that different people come to you from different places. And as a result, you know, what we've tried to do is build clinical programs and capabilities and really try to meet people where they are, as opposed to forcing the square pegs into the round holes that we may develop in these big campuses, which would be more of your traditional kind of healthcare environments. We have those too, but we think the future, if you're taking care of many different kinds of populations, is to really build these programs and meet people where they're at.
How do you know where the future of healthcare will be?
I think the short answer, Robert, is maybe you don't quite know, but the more adaptable your system is, the better prepared you are for whatever the twists and turns are in the journey. I do think, though, that it's becoming more and more clear that it's not going to be sustainable and affordable to have healthcare be in a very institution or facility-centric, hospital-centric environment. I think consumers of healthcare, all of us are consumers, we're way too focused on things that are convenient for us. And people don't think that coming to hospitals is the most convenient way to attain their health. And so the more services we can offer, whether it's virtually, of course, but also being able to deliver things closer to the communities, in the clinics, in people's homes, I think that will be the future of healthcare.
Let's talk about you personally. Now, I've interviewed, I don't know, 1,000 CEOs and dozens leading healthcare organizations. I don't remember anyone with your exact background where you're a JD, you've been in government, you've been in regulatory, you've been on the payer side, on the provider side. You're even a practicing physician as well. Talk about your whole background and what drove you to create such an integrated type background.
I forget which, I think it may be an old Indian proverb about the blind men touching the elephant. I've always thought of that when just hearing you describe it. I think I've been lucky over the course of my career to be many of those different folks touching different parts of the elephant. And I think when you touch all the different types of or parts of the elephant, you start seeing how all the pieces come together. I can think of no better example than in the ER itself. It's where primary care meets specialty care. It's where sick people meet folks who aren't quite as sick. It's where insured meets uninsured and Medicare meets commercial insurance. I mean, all roads kind of cross in the ER. And being able to see where the system sometimes gets broken, which leads to sometimes people landing in the ER for their care, I think that combined with being able to work in several of the environments that you talked about, I think that's really informed my understanding of how the different pieces fit together. Healthcare, it's like one of these industries where no one would ever design it the way that it currently is. I think it's just kind of been one of these creatures that have evolved over time. And as a result, it's unnecessarily complex for all of us and definitely for the patients. And so I think the more familiar you are with how the pieces fit together, I think the better shot we have of coming up with the right solutions.
And if you were to redesign it with your background, what would be the future of healthcare?
I think payment and delivery. We have so many payment silos. You know, here's what's billable through a hospital. Here's what's billable in the outpatient through the provider or through the physician. Here's the drug component. We mentioned one of the silos earlier. We talked about behavioral health, and for a variety of reasons, that's been carved out and separated from physical health. Our experience at Geisinger has been that when you integrate these things and break down those silos, people do better. Physicians talk to each other more. It's more coordinated with what else is going on in a patient's life. It's more coordinated and takes into account their social dynamics and what may be the broader contextual environment in which they're living. I think we have a better shot when we combine all these things, which kind of leads me to a long-winded answer to your question. I would combine payment and delivery where the risk is borne by those delivering the care. And then they could truly focus on somebody's health, not have to worry about, you know, is this banana billable? If someone's going to benefit from a banana, give them a banana. If someone's going to benefit from cooking lessons, give them the cooking lessons. I think that's where healthcare may have unnecessarily siloed itself and fragmented itself.
Was there a conversation earlier in your life that you had with anyone? Could have been one of your teachers, professors, your mom, your dad, a manager of yours, anyone, conversation that led you to develop your philosophy?
There were probably many of those conversations, and I've been lucky over the years to have a lot of really wise counsel and wise mentors. And I think some of the themes that they've advised me over the years have been pretty consistent. One is to follow your passion, because you can't fake it for long enough if you don't follow your passion.
And there you have it. We've been speaking with Dr. Jaywon Rue. And everyone, think about in healthcare integration back to the home. But in any industry you're in, if you want to really serve customers, think about getting more flavors in your ice cream store. Great having you on the CEO show.
Thanks so much, Robert.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamgaday.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamgaday.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your longevity business. Teamgaday.com. Teamgaday.com.